Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Investment legend Jeremy Grantham comes out and says that we are at the end of this massive super bubble in the stock market, and it is beginning to collapse. He goes so far as to say that we are currently in the vampire phase of this stock market super bubble. Let's get into this story from CNBC and check out exactly what he is referring to and see if we agree with his rationale. This is actually from CNBCTV18.com. Okay. GMOs Grantham, and that is actually the name of his investment fund. It's not that he is some proponent of unhealthy food. Just FYI. U.S. bull market in vampire phase. Massive crash ahead. This as of January 21st. So I think that is today, isn't it, Josh? 21st today. All right. So Jeremy Grantham, co-founder of asset management firm GMO, and one of the most outspoken skeptics of the rally in global equities over the last year. And I want to, I don't know what they state in this article, but he hasn't been, he's not like a perma-bear person. He has only been bearish, I think, as of the last couple of years or something like that. This time last year, it looked like we might have a standard bubble with result, or maybe only about a year, with resulting standard pain from the economy. But during the year, the bubble advanced in the category of super bubble, one of only three in modern times in U.S. equities. And the potential pain has increased accordingly, Grantham wrote in his note to his clients. This is another thing that I was curious about. I didn't know if he had just said this kind of off-the-cuff remarks to the media, or he actually wrote it in a letter to his clients and his investors. It's like he wrote that in a letter to investors. That's a big deal, because according to what I know, or from what I've heard from my buddies who run or ran hedge funds in the past, you know, when they're writing letters or notes to their investors, they're not using hyperbole, or they're thinking through their words to a more significant degree than they would just if someone shoves a mic in their face, and or maybe he said this when the mics were off, or maybe he said this to a reporter off the record and they chose to actually run with it or something like that. According to Grantham, all five previous super bubbles in equity and housing in the United States and Japan since 1929 corrected all the way back to their trend. Guys, this is something that I have been saying about the real estate market since I started my YouTube channel in 2019. And it's the chart going all the way back to the 1900s. You guys can pull it up, Google it. It's it shows housing prices adjusted for inflation. And you can see that from 1900 to the late 1990s, housing prices overall did not go up. They just went up with the rate of inflation across the United States. Now, of course, there's pockets that skyrocketed and whatnot due to population and other market forces. But if you just take an aggregate total of housing, contrary to popular belief, the real estate market doesn't really appreciate, doesn't go up over time. It really just stays consistent with the rate of inflation, which would make a lot of sense because wages and inflation are really tied together at the hip. And so if you have inflation going up, you have wages, you know, wages might lag, but those wages are a way that you're going to pay your monthly mortgage payment. So if we assume that interest rates are constant, that they usually go back up to their historic norm, then it would make sense for home prices to be just a derivative of wages, or a derivative of inflation. So then what we see in 2000 going into 2006, of course, this huge spike all the way come crashing down. 2012, where did it bottom out? You guys know from watching my video, very close to that historic trend line. But now we've gone all the way back up to where we're much, much higher. And I've, like I said, been saying since I started the YouTube channel in 2019 that at some point in time, we've got to come back down to that historic trend line. That said, we do not have to come back down in nominal terms. It's not to say that the nominal prices are going to crash. Your house could go up at 5% per year for the next 8 years, 9 years. And you would think that you are getting richer. But if the rate of inflation is going up at 10% per year, you are actually getting poorer. And that delta, that 5% delta compounded over 8-9 years takes us right back to that historic trend line that we are on, adjusted for inflation, 2012, going back to 1990s, late 90s, and all the way back to 1900. So Grantham is saying that this is what we have seen in the equity and housing markets in the United States. I totally agree. You really can't argue with that. It's just pretty much fact. And then Japan, I haven't looked in Japan specifically. I remember I looked at their crash in 1990, their real estate crash, because this was back in 2012 when I was thinking about investing in real estate in the first place, which I did, as most of you guys know, quite heavily. So this makes a lot of sense to me. So they correct all the way back to their historic trend. But now I also want to state that the U.S. stock market could crash up as well. It doesn't necessarily have to come down in nominal terms. It can just crash in real terms when you adjust for inflation. In other words, when the bubble bursts, prices retreat all the way back down to where they had started. Using this as a reference point, Grantham sees the U.S. equity market crashing by at least 45% from current levels to around 2,500. Probably talk about the S&P. And again, this makes a lot of sense to me. And people say, oh, this is impossible. It'll never happen. Well, it happens all the time. Markets go up, they go down, they take the stairs up and the elevator down, is the old saying. And for us to have a 45% decline in the stock market over the next year or year and a half, the probability is far higher than zero. That's for sure. And the probability is much higher than it was in 2019. And it's much higher than it was in 2015. And you go on back. At some point in time, the air has to come out of the bubble. Doesn't have to happen in nominal terms, but it has to happen in real terms. You have to have this deleveraging. This is totally unsustainable. That's the bottom line. So then you say, well, George, the Fed can just continue to kick the can down the road, or you'd say that to Grantham. Well, maybe not. They've been, quote unquote, printing all this money with a backdrop of disinflation. What happens when they have the backdrop of inflation? It's a completely different dynamic. So he points out that one of the things that you notice in the late stages of these stock market super bubbles is that the breadth of the move up continues to decrease, meaning that he calls it the narrowing of the market. So sure, the stock market is going up, but it's the stock market or the indices is weighted. So these huge mega corporations, you could have 5 mega corporations go up and another 200 stocks go down. And because of the way it's weighted, those 5 mega corporations will make the overall stock market look like it's rising, like the Dow or the S&P 500 as an example. And so he refers to the increase in number of stocks that decline in price compared to the stocks that are appreciating. He buttressed this point by flagging the more than 50% drop in meme stocks and the 1/3 of NASDAQ stocks going down, beside the 40% drop in Bitcoin. Most important, and one thing I want to make on Bitcoin, we talked about that in the last video, and I forgot to bring up this chart. And let's just bring it up here quickly, that we go back to the Fed starting to talk about tapering. This was in November, and I believe they actually started the tapering process mid-November, so call it November 15th. And if you look at what has happened, the chart of Bitcoin looks almost in lockstep with what's been happening with tapering on the Fed's balance sheet. So if the Fed continues to taper, if they raise rates, if they do quantitative tightening, I would expect to see more downside in the price of Bitcoin, which, as someone who's long-term bullish and thinks everyone should own it, I think that's fantastic. That makes me excited.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
So let's go back to the story in front of us here. The most important and hardest to define the quality of the late stage bubble is the touchy-feely. He calls it the touchy-feely characteristic of crazy investor behavior. But in the last 2.5 years, there can surely be no doubt that we have seen crazy investor behavior in spades, he's saying, more than in 2000, especially in the meme stocks. And so this is something that's very interesting. When you get these guys that are, I would assume this person's in his 60s or so, you know, they were managing a lot of money, most likely, during the dot-com bust. They're managing a lot of money during the GFC. They've got that real world experience, and I just don't think you can put a price tag on that. So you can sit there and throw stones at these people and say, oh, they're just old boomers and they don't understand the new world and they don't understand the economy now. They don't understand tech. They don't understand young people. Yeah, I get it. But boy, oh boy, they've got a lot of market wisdom. They've got the experience of knowing and remembering all of those feelings and all of those thoughts and all of their observations back during the dot-com bust and the GFC. And you could say, well, George, I lived through that as well. Yeah, I get it, but you weren't managing $10 billion. And I don't say that to sound crass. I just say that because I think that's a whole different dynamic. That is a lot of pressure, and that's a huge weight on your shoulders. And I think it makes the feelings, the emotions that much more intense when you're going through these periods of time. And I would imagine if the emotions are more intense, then that's really kind of seared into your subconscious. And then you can more so recognize when you see this type of bubble activity in the present time, when other people might just have the rose-colored glasses on that don't have that experience of living and managing billions of dollars through those types of collapses that we've seen in the past. So he uses EV stocks, NFTs, cryptos. We've all seen this, of course, the Dogecoin, the Shibu Inu and whatnot. The checklist for a super bubble running through its phases is now complete. And the wild rampus can begin at any, the wild rumpus, I'm pronouncing that right, can begin at any time. He said the bull market was now what he called the vampire phase. So we are in what I think is a vampire phase of a bull market, he's saying, where you throw everything you have at it. You stab it with the cerveza sickness, you shoot it with the end of QE, and you promise higher rates, and you poison it with unexpected inflation, which has always killed PE ratios before, but quite uniquely, not this time yet. Keyword there, yet. And still, the creature flies, Grantham wrote. He cited the example of the global financial crisis when equities continued to rise through the second half of 2007, even as the rot in the subprime loan portfolios was spreading at an alarming rate and bleeding the banks dealing in these securities. I remember that well. Now, obviously, I wasn't managing billions of dollars back then. But I didn't even know the first thing about investing. But I do remember watching CNBC and having those thoughts and saying, wow, it just seems like the whole world is collapsing, but yet, you know, stocks are going up. Also, I'd use the example of stocks going up in February of 2020. We all remember that because I was doing videos on the cerveza sickness from the information that I was getting from people like Dr. Chris Martinson and my good friend Eric Townsend, among others, in January of 2020. And if you're paying attention, you could see that this cerveza sickness thing might be a big problem and definitely a problem to the stock market. But I remember the stock market in February just going up and up and up and up like nothing was happening. And then all of a sudden, the market kind of woke up and smelled the coffee and was like, whoa, wait a minute. This is a big, big deal. And then the market just absolutely plummets. So maybe we see something like that in 2022. So until just, okay, so I guess he's going back and still talking about this, what he calls the vampire phase of a super bubble. He says, so you can imagine that you're throwing everything at this vampire thing, still like a zombie, you know, still moving around until just as you are beginning to think the thing is completely immortal, it finally, and perhaps a little anticlimactically, keels over and dies. He says, the sooner the better for everyone. So there you go. Wanted to deliver that news. I think it's important for us to think these things through going into what could be an interest rate cycle and an interest rate increase cycle from the Federal Reserve. They're tapering what could be quantitative tightening, where they're reducing the size of their balance sheet. All these things when the stock market, according to Jeremy Grantham, is in a super bubble. And you combine that with the fragility of the repo market, where you're reducing the amount of collateral and you're reducing the amount of cash. What you have is an extreme powder keg that we as prudent investors definitely need to pay attention to. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Always stand up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.